From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, life and the GOP, the latest from Capitol Hill, and the growing global threat. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Thursday's edition of Washington Watch, in the shadow of former President Trump announcing that the life issue should be left to the states, Congressman Chris Smith joined Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about the way forward for Republicans when it comes to protecting life.
Congressman Smith, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
Tony, thank you very much for having me on. And again, thank you for your leadership on life, on human rights, on religious freedom. You've been a superstar.
Well, let me go back to your origins to coming to Congress nearly 40 years ago. It was on this issue of life. You came out of the pro-life movement. Your work that you do on behalf of the persecuted around the globe, whether it's religious persecution or other tyrants that are persecuting human beings, it stems from that understanding that all life has value because it is created in the image of God.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the scripture couldn't be clearer that when our Lord said in Matthew 25, whatsoever you do to the least of these or to the least of my brethren, you do likewise to me. So all, and that's all about situational, you know, whether it be a political prisoner who may be the most courageous man or woman on earth, but they're in prison, they're being tortured. They're the least in terms of their situation. And the unborn child are also the least because of their very dependent situation. And unfortunately, today, with well over 65 million unborn babies that have been killed by abortion, a very violent procedure that either chemically poisons, causes the child to starve to death, and that's what the abortion bill does, or are literally dismembered and decapitated during the process. All of that is shunted aside by the pro-abortion movement, which talks in euphemisms. We love them both, as you know, Tony. It's about loving the mother and loving the child as well, or children, if it happens to be twins. We got to love them both and help them both, especially if it's a difficult situation for the mom. And that's why pregnancy care centers are a gift from God. They do amazing work to help these women through it. And so we need to just redouble our efforts. And the abortion movement is trying to eviscerate those from the face of the earth as
they
well.
They are.
Not this country, all over the world.
They are.
Competition with Planned Parenthood, which is Child Abuse Incorporated.
So let's talk about the Democrats are prepared to spend more than $100 million messaging on the issue of abortion. They had success in 2022 because many Republican candidates were silent, and this allowed the Democrats to define the Republicans on this issue. Why are Republicans, not all, just some, those who actually embrace it, understand it, and run on it, have done quite well. Why is there fear over this issue that Republicans have been talking about for over 40 years?
Well, I think political consultants, and that goes for some Republicans as well, have so warned members of Congress and other legislatively elected people to don't engage the issue. I believe just the opposite. And you know, I've been in Congress now for 44 years. I had a district that was on the, at least when you polled it, was very, very strongly pro-abortion. And I never, not once, shied away and made clear that it's all about defense of the vulnerable and the weakest among us, and that we need to find alternatives to abortion. And even when they lie about us, which I had in my last two campaigns, a lot of lies, last three campaigns, you just repel it. You bend into the wind and not with it. As soon as they see your back, you're toast politically. So I just would encourage all lawmakers and aspiring candidates who want to run for office, embrace the issue. You know, this is the killing of our children. And it's not a pretty picture. It's very ugly. And they just like to look askance and fucking euphemisms.
I mean, I think from one perspective, when voters are looking at what Republicans are saying or not saying right now, this looks like it's strictly a political issue as opposed to a principle issue. I mean, it doesn't matter which way the political winds are blowing if you're standing on principle, and that's what the life issue is. But let me just talk politics for just a moment on this, because only 31% of Americans think abortion should be legal in all cases up until the moment of birth. Even less when you throw in taxpayer funding of it. So that would leave 69% of Americans do believe that there should be restrictions on abortion. The position of the Democratic Party stated in their platform and being pushed by their president is abortion until birth funded by taxpayers. That's an extreme position.
It's a radical, it's an extreme position, it is an anti-child, and I would argue it's an anti-mother position, because, you know, we like to love them both, help them both. But you're doing no favor by making it easier and facilitating, as you pointed out, abortion right up until the moment of birth. And if you read the language, you know, the Women's Health Act, terrible name, that's what they named it. It passed twice in the House when the Democrats controlled the House of Representatives. It got rid of every single modest protection, including women's right to know laws, parental notification statutes, and would compel public funding for abortion, taxpayer funding for every abortion. They are all in this culture of death that they have embraced.
So,
and people stand up against it. It's so radical. It boggles my mind that so, people have known for years.
Let me ask you. Congressman Smith, let me ask you about it. Is that the type of law we would have in this land if the Democrats controlled the House along with the Senate and the White House?
I think every voter and every man or woman of conscience has to realize if they win the House and the Senate and Biden, Harris get back in, they made it very clear that he can't wait to get this legislation on his desk for signature, and every pro-life protection ever enacted over the last 50 years since Roe versus Wade would be gone overnight. And we will have massive numbers of abortion. If it gets promoted, Planned Parenthood and all the other groups will get even more money, which they already get unconscionably large numbers of money from the federal and local government. And they will market it. They will push it. And rather than defend life, we would be in the business of taking it wholesale.
Very quickly, in one sentence, we only got like 20 seconds left. What should people, pro-lifers, be saying about this to their neighbors, to their friends and co-workers as we go into this election?
Perhaps more than ever before, this is the pivot point, because if the Senate remains Democratic and the House goes Democratic, it's Republican now by a razor thin margin, and they keep the White House, they will get rid of the filibuster, allowing them to pass this egregious human rights abusing law, a bill right now, God forbid it ever become law, called the Women's Health Act, and we'll have abortion on demand. And we'll all be paying for it. And countless numbers of children who might otherwise be saved and protected would be lost to the abortionist knife. And don't forget, as they're doing surgical abortions, they're beheading the child in the process. That's unquestionable.
This undercuts humanity and civility in this country. This is what I think is leading to such disregard for human life in this country. Chris, we're out of time, but always great to have you on the program. Thank you.
Pray. We pray as never before.
Absolutely. Pray, vote, and stand, my friends. That was Congressman Chris Smith, pro-life hero. All right, don't go away. We're coming back right after this.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Thankfully, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview's latest publication, titled An Introduction to Worldview, provides the answers. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Be sure and check it out. All right, according to cybersecurity experts and U.S. officials, the Chinese Communist Party's efforts to infiltrate U.S. infrastructure is staggering in both its size and scope, placing emergency services, military installations, and satellites in jeopardy. That's been the focus of some subcommittee hearings and various hearings on Capitol Hill this week. Is enough effort underway to deter such threats? Is America distracted by some other issues? Joining me now to discuss this and more, Congressman Rich McCormick. He serves on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the House Armed Services Committee, and the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. He is a decorated Marine helicopter pilot and an emergency room doctor. He represents the 6th Congressional District of Georgia. Dr. McCormick, Semper Fi, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Semper Fi, good to see you.
So FBI Director Christopher Wray has repeatedly warned of the CCP's hacking capabilities. What else do we know? How serious of a threat is this?
Well, we do know we can't always talk about because a lot of the stuff is classified. That's the problem. The American public really needs to be informed on a lot of this stuff so they can put pressures in the right areas, too. Unfortunately, a lot of this stuff is not declassified, sometimes on purpose, sometimes because we just get used to containing this information. But quite frankly, we don't have to worry just about cybersecurity and being having our information stolen. But we recently had a bunch of hospitals shut down in their billing process. Just that alone could be destructive to not just information stealing of patients' information, but also to how we reimburse medicine and hospitals and doctors. It sounds like a trivial thing, but when that happens for a couple of weeks, you're talking about billions of dollars in impact. One out of every three patients, that just happened recently. And we just had the Doctors Caucus talk to people about that. We're being constantly attacked, relentlessly attacked. And it's disruptive to our entire society. It can happen on power grids. It can happen to your information. It can happen to businesses. This is something that we have to be more and more aware of because as AI comes into its full fruition and starts to affect us, it can literally be like this scenario out of movies where you see stoplights change the wrong color at the wrong time. It could cause catastrophes, shut down your power to a hospital. It could do all kinds of horrible things that would impact our economy and our society in major ways.
I mean, this puts a lot of responsibility on the government, because if there's one thing the government has a responsibility to do, it takes on a lot that it really shouldn't. But one is to protect us, and this would be one of those areas. When you, and I know a lot of this is classified, but this week, debate on FISA. Does that type of threat factor into this debate over FISA and what government should and shouldn't be able to do?
Absolutely. This is the push-pull, and even a person like myself who has a lot of background in security, at a top-secret clearance in the military, we used to get classified briefs constantly, and here in Congress where we get all kinds of classified briefs, once you get top-secret information, you realize the threat that's real. We realize that 11 million people have come across the border in the last 3 years, 2 million of them undocumented. We have no idea who they are. I mean, when President Biden says, oh, undocumented migrants, well, no, actually, 9 million of those are very well documented because you sent a record number of people down there to process them in. Meanwhile, all those people, instead of stopping people at the border, were processing people and let 2 million that they did not capture. Those people could do real harm to America. And if the FBI has their hands tied, we don't have FISA in some way, shape, or form, it could result in the deaths of Americans, of something horribly disrupted, something along the lines of 9/11. Who knows? So we have to have something in place, but we also have to have guardrails because we've seen the FBI abuse their powers. We've seen this, and matter of fact, they break the law. They have to be held accountable. The problem is we can make new laws. If they don't follow them, it doesn't matter.
Right.
The FBI has ignored laws in the past. So has President Biden. We have the same laws now that we had during his the Obama administration, yet we're not enforcing the border. So when somebody, a bureaucracy or a president, ignores those laws, we have a significant problem.
It goes back to what John Adams said. Our government only works for a moral and religious people. We've got to have self-government. We've got to allow ourselves to be ruled by law, or else we become we have a tyrannical government. We're almost out of time. I want to switch gears for just a moment. Different topic. You've dealt with the dysfunction that often affects Congress, and you've explained why you oppose what Marjorie Taylor Greene has introduced as another motion to vacate the chair. Is that a good or a bad idea?
It's a horrible idea. First of all, there's no backup. What are you going to do? Come up with a new speaker? Who? We took a couple weeks last time, and we tried to sort it out. Mike Johnson was chosen by God, I think. He's a humble man. He's a moral man. He's a conservative man. He was the chair of the RSC. He believes in conservative values. Has he had to bring some things to the floor he didn't want to? Did he have to phrase it the way he didn't want to? Of course. He's got a one-vote majority. He's trying to hold this together until we can get the Senate back. Have I voted against things he's about to go on? Of course I have. But who is your backup plan? What is your backup plan? Just throwing a grenade amongst us is not going to solve our problem. If you're in a team, and we are a team, not everybody on the team agrees with each other, but if you're actively tackling our quarterback, that's not going to result in something we want. It's just like when somebody votes against something that they don't think is conservative enough, and you end up with a Senate bill that's more liberal because you failed our bill. You wouldn't even let it come to a vote. That doesn't result in a more conservative bill. And sometimes people are just not taking a look at what's reality. When you have a one-vote majority and you don't have the Senate, you don't have the presidency, let's get what we can. Let's make an incremental change. Don't swing for the fences and lose everything. This is a horrible idea that will result in horrible things, and it could lose us a majority if we're not careful.
You know, people don't realize that the speaker doesn't tell everybody what to do. He has to lead. And there has to be willing participants. And when you've got such narrow margins, and you have some independent thinkers who, quite frankly, are just disruptors and will not work as a team, I mean, would you agree he has a difficult job?
Well, think about this. We're not supposed to all agree with each other. And sometimes people think that they define the Republican Party, like in church. This is a religious group. This is at least a spiritual group. When you have somebody walk in and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like these other sinners, these tax collectors and adulterers and like, and they think they define the church. You have people like them in the Republican Party, too, that think their thought defines the Republican Party. If everybody in your church agrees with each other, or everybody agrees with each other in a political party, it might be a cult.
Right.
We have to be allowed to disagree with each other to have the legislative process make exactly what it's supposed to, where we get to disagree, we get to vote on it, and then the majority wins. We're in the majority, but
right.
If we lose the majority, it doesn't matter what, we won't bring anything to the table anymore. We'll lose total control.
You've got to do it in a way, though, that leads the effort forward. And I think that's that is the key. Congressman McCormick, always great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Always a pleasure. God bless you. Semper Fidelis.
All right. Semper Fi.
You can find out more about Rich McCormick when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. With a porous southern border and wars popping up around the world, the United States seems to be more and more vulnerable to attack. Joining Tony Perkins on Wednesday to talk about these global threats was former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Secretary Pompeo, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always good to have you on the program.
It's a joy to be with you, Tony. Thanks for having me on this evening.
I want to talk with you about two really important issues that are before Congress this week. Congress currently has the opportunity to address several global issues in the next few days. And let's begin with foreign aid and what you'd like to see happen both as it pertains to Israel and Ukraine. Now, the backdrop, obviously, we have a lot of debt, $34 trillion in debt, reckless spending that's taken place over decades. We have Ukraine, a lot of money have already gone there, conservatives opposed to that. But let's talk about what happens if America does not continue standing with Ukraine.
Well, Tony, my view has been since the beginning is that it is an absolute American imperative. I care about the Ukrainian people. They're creatures of God. We're all created in his image. But when you think about American security, we should put American people first. And from where I sat as Secretary of State and CIA Director, it was absolutely imperative that we not allow Vladimir Putin to successfully take chunks of Europe. We were able to deter that for 4 years under President Trump. President Biden lost that very deterrence. And now the Ukrainian people are simply asking for our help with getting the tools they need to push back against this tyrannical fellow named Vladimir Putin and his Russian regime. This is deeply in our interest. It's in our interest because we buy products from Ukraine that matter. It's in our interest because Vladimir Putin, in control of a friend and ally in Europe, which is in the inevitable consequence of a failure to defend Ukraine. Those are things that impact people in Oklahoma and my home state of Kansas and all across this nation. So this is an American national security imperative that simply says we should provide the Ukrainians with the tools they need to help them defend their sovereign borders.
Is NATO, NATO forces in Europe, are they ready to take on Russia?
Yes, I think the answer to that question is yes. But it's, as you know, Tony, it's incredibly complicated. So we often think to tanks and soldiers, infantrymen, but think space, think cyber, think all the other domains where this competition will take place. The Europeans are in pretty good shape, but there's a lot more work to be done. And as we can see, even in Israel and Gaza, these nations need American support. Israel has a very capable military. They can do a lot, but they need America to come alongside them for both the moral support provided and the technological and capability support that we provide as well.
And of course, the support for Ukraine, as it's come over from the Senate, is connected to the funding for Israel, which many in the House want to do, even though they're reluctant on the funding for Ukraine. But we're going to see the outcome of this week. And I know you are passionate about supporting Israel. You did a lot during your time as Secretary of State to help Israel. A lot of that has been reversed by this administration.
Yes, and Americans are worse off for that. And frankly, Jewish people, the people of Israel, for that matter, of all faiths, in the rightful Jewish homeland are worse off for it as well. Tony, you can see this. The Iranians who support Hamas are now running free. They feel like the United States has abandoned Israel, and so they are less likely to return the American hostages. They are less likely to stand down in, you know, October 7th again and again and again. And had the United States done the right thing and stayed with Israel, I'm confident there would be less risk today than we find ourselves here in America and throughout the Middle East, and as we sit here.
You know, you bring up a point. Our enemies don't fear us. But as we turn our attention here a little bit closer to home, Americans have more fear of our government than foreign actors. And I want to talk about something that you know a lot about, you've spoken about, and I know that you have consulted with the speaker on this, is something that's up before Congress this week. They're going to have to deal with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, known as FISA, Section 702, which is set to expire, which is very controversial. However, the House has put forth about 56 different reform elements to this. I want you to speak to the importance of this tool, but also how it was abused and how it can be fixed. And with this backdrop, that Americans don't trust their government.
Yeah. Look, Tony, I completely get how Americans watched what Andy McCabe and Jim Comey did at the FBI, and they have lost trust and confidence in the FBI leadership. I can see it. I can feel it. They're right to be concerned. And we all, as good conservatives, worry about our government and its overreach. Those are very reasonable concerns. The question is, how do you balance that? How do you get that right? And in this instance, I'll say two things. This particular provision, Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, saved hundreds of American lives during my time as CIA director, as Secretary of State. I saw it. It collects, its purpose is to collect intelligence on foreigners, not Americans. That's where it operates. It does sometimes, if you or I speaking to someone abroad who's a bad guy, it could collect an American's data too. So I get the concern that flows from that. And it was abused. It was abused against President Trump personally. It's been abused other times by folks going and looking at what their girlfriends were up to. Those are tragic. Those are governmental failures. But I pray that we won't throw out the really important collection to solve that problem, because I think you can solve the problem through the dozens of reforms that are here. You know, we often talk about FBI officials not being held accountable. These FBI reforms that are in this bill will put criminal penalties in place for someone who does precisely what I just spoke about. It transcribes the court hearings so that members of Congress can get oversight. It ties compensation of FBI officials to the failures to process correctly any Americans whose information was collected up. It's reduced by 90% the number of people who can actually have access to any Americans' information. So we have significantly sought to address the very concerns that the American people rightfully have. And I hope everybody will take on board. There will be terrorist acts that take place that could have been prevented if this act is not renewed. And that's not just not hyperbole. It's not a threat. It's not even, it's not, it recognizes the risk. But I hope everyone will acknowledge that we also need a government that is chasing bad guys around the world to keep us all safe. And I pray that we'll continue to be able to have the tools to permit them to do so.
I mean, this is the downside to a government that has lost its way. When we lose our moral footing and we have a government that becomes weaponized against its political opponents, and we've seen it with former President Trump, how the government has been weaponized against him, it shakes our confidence in our government, and that is an open door for our enemies. This is it's a perfect storm that we're entering into because we have lost our way.
Yeah. You couldn't say it better than that. When you walk away from your Judeo-Christian founding, when your institutions are corrupted and behave in political ways, when you're prosecuting a candidate for president of a major political party in multiple jurisdictions over allegations that are just clearly ungrounded, when those things happen, the American people take note and they lose confidence in these important institutions. You can see it in the lack of confidence in the military that I served in as a young officer. You can see the lack of confidence in our Federal Bureau of Investigation. You see that, and the American people rightly say, hey, what the heck is going on? And we're going to go grab this and fix it. I actually think the FISA legislation does precisely what it is the American people should be asking it to do. It reforms it. It attempts to fix it. It holds those responsible for malfeasance accountable. But I understand the mindset. And, Tony, this is what you and I know. When a government becomes unmoored in a republic like ours, where the central thesis is the American people trust that their leaders are there doing the right thing on behalf of America, not of themselves, then you do truly risk this republic. I've said this time and time again. I worry about the Chinese Communist Party. Vladimir Putin's a bad guy. Chairman Kim in North Korea is really dangerous. The most dangerous thing we have is that the American people lose their confidence in our democracy and in our republic. If that happens, because of malfeasance of our leaders, we are truly at risk.
Well, Mr. Secretary, your word carries a lot of weight here at Washington Watch. So thank you so much for joining us today. Always great to see you.
Thank you, Tony. Bless you. Have a good evening.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234.